All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Hello and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown Show, a HoopBall presentation. This episode is brought to you by Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Get some delicious coffee and taste the Kona difference. Head over to HawaiianIsles.com. You can also find their delicious coffee on Amazon. My name is Adrian Benjamins, and I'm joined, as per usual, by Captain Kurt Beach. Kurt, how you doing, brother?
Adrian, my good sir, I am living the dream, just winding up a nice Turkey Day weekend, ready to hop into some hoops.
Yes, yes, and we have a very nice slate of games in front of us, man, so I do not want to waste any time, Kurt, because when you and I get together, it is guaranteed to be a lot of talking, a long show. But, Kurt, before we get down to business, I want to remind the great listeners to check out the HoopBall Bruce Letter. The godfather of HoopBall himself, Aaron Brewski, does a newsletter touching on all NBA teams, everything you need to know. You guys, go sign up for this if you haven't already. Go to www.hoopball.com/newsletter. It is fantastic. You know, Kurt, when I very first started getting into fantasy, Aaron Brewski was one of my favorite follows. One of the guys I love to follow the most. He was at Roto World at that time, and I would get giddy when I'd wake up to read the dose or the daily dose or whatever they called it. And he was the author, because I knew it was going to be loaded with goodies. It was going to be, you know, sometimes a lot of people, when they're doing those daily doses and stuff, like, they'll just say something, but then not really put a spin on what it means for fantasy. Like, they'll just say, oh, this guy was great. He had a great line, and he went off. But, you know, a lot of times you want to know, a guy went off, but what does that mean for fantasy? Does that mean we need to go pick him up? Does that mean nothing? Does that mean... And so Aaron always had the best insight. I would always love when he would do his Brewski breakdown. Man, that was the best. So this newsletter, man, is kind of like... you know, it feels like that to me, like those early Brewski breakdowns. What do you think, Kurt?
Yeah, I totally agree. And like you, when I was getting into fantasy for the first time, I was following RotoWorld a lot, and I was super excited. I always see his stuff on there. I like that he didn't feel like he needed to go with the crowd, and that he'll give you some hot takes. And that's what I found the most interesting. I'd follow some of his hot takes, and like 99% of the time, they ended up being great pickups.
Yeah, which is also why you know, the Brewski 150 rankings is like the same thing, right? It's like he was just never it was always so different. Like, you would see guys ranked 40 spots differently than the consensus, and I just loved that bravery, that, like, you know what I mean, he was never scared to go against the norm or go against what the general consensus was. And so anyways, man, go get the Brewski newsletter, the Brews letter. Kurt, are you ready to dive into this action-packed night of fantasy action?
Adrian, I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right, man. I believe my head is spinning from today. So I believe the first game of the night was the Miami Heat and the Brooklyn Nets. This one was a tight game, very close. The Heat getting the victory, 109 to 106. Gonna jump in on the Miami side of the game first. I'll start with Jimmy Butler, man. 20 points, a steal, a block, 2 assists, 7 rebounds, 1-3. You know, 5 of 17 shooting, not great, but he was 9 of 10 from the line and putting up some great value this season. Especially, Kurt, he fell to, like, I saw him... I think in my home league, he ended up going like round 3. So some people got some really good value on Jimmy Butler this year. One of my favorite players this year, I got a lot of shares of him, Bam Adebayo, a big double-double, 17 points, 16 boards, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 assist, 6 of 14 shooting, 5 of 7 from the line. Robinson with a double-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds. 3 threes for him on 3 of 6 shooting. Kendrick Nunn with 11 points, 3 assists. He only shot 5 of 15 with 1-3. Myers Leonard getting the start, but really don't like him, especially for standard leagues. Only saw 19 minutes and shot 3 of 5 for 9 points, 6 boards. They do have some nice options off of their bench. Goran Dragic, 24 points, 6 assists, 2 rebounds, 3 threes on 9 of 18 shooting. You know, that's pretty good usage. He came off the bench but took the most shots out of anyone on this team. So he feels really a really safe option, even though he's coming off the bench. You know, probably the big letdown, I know in deeper leagues, Kelly Olynyk was a popular ad, but only saw 6 minutes here tonight. In fact, you know what, Kurt? I better double check this. I just want to make sure he didn't get hurt and I didn't miss it, but I'm not seeing any injury. So really strange. Only 6 minutes for Kelly Olynyk. He's been much better. Tyler Hero is off and on. Hard to trust in standard leagues. Only 4 points in 21 minutes. Winslow is back in action. 10 points for him, 3 assists, 5 rebounds. He was 3 of 12, 1-3. I don't know if he's going to continue coming off the bench or if he'll eventually start. I think, you know, Miami's been pretty good this season. I think they probably like that starting lineup how it is. So maybe Winslow just keeps coming off the bench here. Not too much else to talk about. Kurt, what do you think of the Heat?
Like you said, the thing that stood out the most to me was the Kelly Olynyk stuff. In the last 2 weeks, he'd been a top 67 guy on 9-cat rating. So I picked him up in a lot of places, and pretty bummed to see this happen. Only 6 minutes, and like you said, I don't see any kind of injury news, anything like that going on. Probably, I mean, easily his worst game of the year, all zeros. But if you picked him up, I'd hold on for another couple games, see how he does. He's been top 120 or so on the season, and like I said, top 70 in the last 2 weeks. So cut him some slack for this one. Other than that, the other guy that I'm watching pretty close here, let me just plug that newsletter again from Brewski, is Duncan Robinson. And I pegged him as mainly a three-point guy who gets you points, and that's about it. But tonight he had 10 boards. Didn't do anything else in the peripheral stats, but didn't have any turnovers. But Brewski's very intrigued by this guy. Again, go check out the Brews letter. And with him being intrigued by him, again, we mentioned how his takes were some of the hot takes that we like to follow. I'm very intrigued by him. If you need a three-point specialist, maybe somebody you look at there. Other than that, I mean, Derek Jones returned but didn't do anything. He's got a fun stat set, but this Miami rotation is just so packed. It's hard to trust anyone off the bench.
Yeah, for sure. What went down on the Brooklyn side of this game?
Well, we had Torian Prince go for 9-7-5 with a steal, 3 blocks, and 2 threes. Nice, diverse game from him, minus 3 of 14 from the field. Jarrett Allen had 4 points, 12 boards, 2 assists. Spencer Dinwiddie's hot run continues with Kyrie on the shelf. He had 29, 6 and 4 with 4 triples, perfect 5 of 5 from the line, 1 steal. Joe Harris is really hot lately. He had 25 points, 5 triples, 4 boards and assists. Garrett Temple played 34 minutes. He had 7, 6 and 5. He's more of a deep league special, and he'll likely fade when Kyrie comes back, if not disappear completely. DeAndre Jordan still clinging to some value off the bench, 24 minutes for 15 and 8, 2 assists, 1 steal. Nicholas Claxton, who had some buzz a couple weeks ago in deeper leagues, was a DNP CD. And really, that's all I see here on the Nets. Not much that moves the needle for me tonight. What about you, Adrian?
Man, I just want to mention that I'm thanking my lucky stars that I avoided Kyrie Irving everywhere. And I wasn't purposely avoiding him. It just, the way that my draft shaked out, I wasn't ever in that right slot in that second round, like that early second round, to take him. And I'm just pretty happy I avoided him, man, because I just feel like, I don't know, just for some reason feels like he's going to be a headache this year with the missed games. It's just crazy how many games he's missed with his shoulder injury. And, you know, he's a guy who's had numerous injury issues throughout his career, dating all the way back to his time in college when he was at Duke. So I'm just feeling pretty lucky that I avoided him. Other than that, man, you nailed everything. Let's roll to the next game. The Memphis Grizzlies took on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Grizzlies getting the victory, 115-107. And, you know, this one was a little surprising to me because we were missing Morant. We're missing Valanciunas in this one. We're missing, you know, Kyle Anderson didn't play in this one. And so I really expected the Timberwolves to just roll over the Grizzlies. So I was a little shocked when I saw that the Grizzlies got this victory. And I'm going to start on the Memphis side of this game first. And I'll start with the Jay Crowder, who put up a double-double, 12 points, 10 boards, 3 assists, 2 threes, 4 of 11 shooting. I think he's worth owning, even in standard leagues with all these injuries to the Grizzlies. Now, you know, he's likely never going to blow you away with a big line, but, you know, nights like tonight are why he's useful in leagues. Dylan Brooks is prone to have some nice scoring games, and tonight was one of those nights. 26 points with 4 threes on 9 of 18 shooting from the field. He was a perfect 4 of 4 from the line. He also added 3 assists. You guys, with the news of Ja Morant likely going to be out weeks, he will be week to week. I'm expecting us to not even see him this week, maybe miss most of next week, so with back spasms. So with that news, go make sure that Tyus Jones is not sitting on your wire. I think he's even worth owning, even in standard leagues. Tonight, in just 25 minutes, had 12 points, a steal, a block, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. I think this is what you can expect, and I think on some nights he's going to be even better than this. From what I was hearing, they did not go with Jones down the stretch. They ended up going with DeAnthony Melton. This likely could have been due to a size issue. You know, the Timberwolves are starting Jarrett Culver at the point guard spot. He's got a lot more size than Tyus Jones. So I think on most nights we're going to see Tyus Jones hit that 30-minute mark. And I think he's going to be worth owning all over the place. Super mega disappointing from JJJ tonight. Fouled out in 19 minutes, but did have 12 points and assists, 2 rebounds, 2 threes on 5 of 10 shooting. Look, fouls is his Achilles heel. He just has such a high foul rate. He just hasn't figured that out yet. He's still a baby. I don't even think he's 21 yet, Kurt. I think he's still 20, or maybe he is 21. But so hopefully he gets the foul trouble worked out, because you know, we all salivate on the potential of JJJ, but really tough on nights like tonight. Brandon Clark has been pretty good for the most part. So tonight, definitely disappointing. Only played 10 minutes and pretty much put up a goose egg. I want to double check. No injury for Clark tonight. Oh no, he did actually leave. Left this game with hip soreness. So keep an eye on Brandon Clark. That could be an issue. Maybe he's going to miss another game or so. Let's see, off the bench, they got some nice run from a lot of their bench guys. Allen with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 threes on 4-9 shooting. DeAnthony Melton showing some of why people got excited about him last year at the draft, with 9 points, 8 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3, perfect 4 of 4 from the line, 2 of 10 from the field. I actually have this guy in some really deep dynasty leagues, but man, I was really disappointed when he got moved to the Grizzlies, because they got Tyus Jones and they've got the point guard superstar of the future in Ja Morant. So definitely not a great landing spot for DeAnthony Melton. So other than that, really hoping we see Jonas Valanciunas back soon. I'm also hoping we see Ja Morant on the sooner rather than later, and would like to see this team back at full strength. Kurt, what do you think of the Grizzlies?
Man, Adrian, just all their starters going down or not playing, and they still pull off the victory here. Like you said, Tyus Jones, he's going to be a fun streamer for assists and steals for however long Ja's out, and getting that week-to-week news on him means, I mean, you probably at least got one solid week out of him. I think Memphis goes 3 times next week, so he should be definitely owned in most standard leagues, even if it's just for the week or two. Off the bench, so many numbers there, but hard to trust these guys. Like you said, Brandon Clark only played 10 minutes and JJJ fouled out in 19. So it's hard to trust these guys, but Bruno Caboclo, man, his 12 and 13 with 1 assist, 3 steals. He had a really solid run last year around the fantasy playoffs, and he helped win me a couple leagues. So I have a little bit of a soft spot for him. I don't know. You could roll the dice on these guys if you were probably more of a DFS punt type, because for soreness for Clark, he probably won't be out too long. And if JJJ can figure out the fouling, these guys, their minutes are going to evaporate some.
Yep, I agree. What went down on the other side of this game, Minnesota's side of this game?
You got it. For Cat, he went for 21 and 12 with 5 assists, no defensive stats, 1 3-pointer. Kind of an off shooting night for him. 7 of 20 from the field, 1 of 10 from deep. Same for Andrew Wiggins, 6 of 17 from the field, but he pitched in 18, 6 and 7, 1 assist, or sorry, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 1 3. Getting you some cash counters this year, having a really nice year. Robert Covington's been a little quiet this year, but I think he's still inside the top 40 in 9 cat. 13, 3 and 1 with 1 steal, 1 block, 3 threes. He kind of flies under the radar, I think, for some of the casual leagues. And because of what he does in those cash counting stats, the steals, the blocks, the threes, you might be able to pry him away from an owner if you're in more of a casual league. Jarrett Culver, he's been starting now for Jeff Teague. That's supposed to be a permanent thing from what I've heard. 14 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 3. Only 26 minutes. He's not really lighting the world on fire, and his percentages, especially from the free throw line, have been really bad. 1 of 4 tonight. He was something like 42% on the season. And I think he's honestly one of the worst guys when you factor in both field goal and free throw percentage on the year. But he'll probably turn that around some. I think he was a 70% or so foul line shooter in college. Off the bench, Jeff Teague, naturally, you know, losing the starting gig, we're hearing lots of questions, should I drop Jeff Teague? But he played 26 minutes. He only took 4 shots, but he was 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 13 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. And really, that's what you're looking for from Teague, is those low teen scoring nights, 6, 7, 8 assists. And he's probably going to shoot more than 4 times most nights. So if, say, he gets another bucket or two, you're looking at 15, 17 points, 6 assists. He's definitely still somebody that you should be holding, especially with how assists have been falling off this year after those first few rounds in the draft. Adrian, what's your take on Minnesota?
I love what you said about Jarrett Culver, but, you know, he's a guy that I'm actually stashing in, like, those – I'm in a couple leagues where I play that roto game cap limit where, like, you know, in every spot you have an 82-game limit, and so – you can afford to put a guy on your bench that you don't need to play. Because I think at some point of the season, Culver is going to maybe make that leap where we see the percentages improve. I agree with you. He's really tough. Like, I don't even want to put him in my lineup right now because of the percentages that he hurts you at, and because also, you know, prone to give you some low-end lines as well. So, but I'm just going to keep him stashed on my bench for that, you know, maybe after the All-Star break, he starts putting it together. And I think it's a good sign that he's in the starting lineup. Like, I feel like that team, they want him to learn, make mistakes now so that he makes that improvement. So, a guy I'm definitely holding. I love your take on Teague. You know, even though he's coming off the bench, which freaked me out initially, he could destroy some second units, some really bad defenses. So as long as he's getting minutes like he saw tonight. Now, if his minutes dropped to like 19, I would get really worried. But if he's still going to see minutes here like he saw here tonight in the mid to upper 20s, I think he's going to give you some nice lines, very similar to what he did tonight. Or like you said, Kurt, even better if he's shooting. Like you said, only took 4 shots. I think most nights in 26 minutes, he's going to take way more than that. So love your take there. And then other than that, man, not much else to add. You nailed everything. Let's keep rolling. Let's go to Game 3, the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks. The Celtics have been fantastic, man. They get the victory 113-104. I'm going to look in on the Boston side, and I'm going to start with Jason Tatum, man. Was really disappointed that I missed out on Tatum in all my leagues. Had a nice game here tonight, 30 points, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 7 assists with 6 boards, 5 threes, 5 of 6 from the line, 10 of 23 from the field. It's a pretty great game here from him. Jaylen Brown, who's been fantastic, 28 points, a steal, a block, 1 assist, 5 rebounds, 4 threes on 11 of 18 shooting, 2 of 4 from the line. Now, you know, even though Brown has been a nice surprise, I am concerned about the return of Gordon Hayward. And, you know, I still think Brown is going to be worth rostering and be worth having on your team, even when Hayward comes back. But I do believe Brown will definitely take a knock in value, a knock to his production when Hayward returns. So, hey, if, you know, I don't know if you can maybe flip Jaylen Brown right now. If there's other people that are forgetting that that Gordon Hayward's going to be back soon, you know, maybe you can move Jaylen Brown. But anyways, Kemba Walker, so happy, Kurt, that this guy did not get hurt and that he's okay. I was watching that Celtics game when he hurt his neck and was like, anytime a guy gets taken off of on a stretcher, it's like the scariest thing in the world, man. Like you're not even worried about basketball. You're like worried if they're gonna walk again. Like it's like that intense. So to see this guy already playing over 30 minutes, had 16 points, 10 assists, steal. I'm just so happy that this guy is healthy and back and playing great. 5 rebounds too, 3 threes on 6 of 18 shooting. Marcus Smart only no points tonight, no defensive stats, 3 rebounds, no threes. Wow, this is a really awful night from Marcus Smart, but I think he'll be much better than this. Daniel Theis, 2 points. I think, you know, I've seen him picked up and being played in some deeper leagues, like 14 team deeper leagues. It's just nights like tonight are why it's kind of rough. You know, tomorrow could have a double-double tomorrow in a decent line, but really hard to trust him, man. This Boston Celtics team is so deep. Off the bench, you know, Cantor's only getting 16 minutes, but he put up a double-double, 11 points, 11 rebounds, 1 block on 4-7 shooting. You know, it's kind of clear that they like Cantor coming off the bench. Robert Williams, who I know a lot of people were high on, but man, with this three-headed monster at center, I just don't think it's going to happen for him. And don't really trust anybody else off this bench with this team being so deep. Kurt, what do you think of the Celtics?
Adrian, the only thing I'll add, well, Marcus Smart, I guess he took a shot from Kevin Knox. He tried to take a charge, so he left early. So he'll be, I mean, they're calling it an abdomen shot, so I don't know how long he'll be out. I don't think it would be too long, but he'll have better lines than this. The main reason I watch the Celtics, if I watch the Celtics, is for that front court battle between Theis and Cantor. And Theis, prior to Friday's game, had looked like the dude. And then he only played 6 minutes or so on Friday, and I didn't see much on it. Now I'm hearing he had a knee issue, so that gives him a pass for Friday. He had been number 139 on the season and 101 in the last 14 days, and I picked him up in a few spots. He'd had some decent block numbers, but tonight, no injury or anything. He's just kind of splitting time now with Cantor, and it's going to render probably both of them outside standard league value, probably 14 teamers, 16 teamers. I'm probably going to hold Theis in the standard leagues where I have him just for another game or two to see what happens. But with my itchy trigger finger, he's definitely on the chopping block. The only other guy who had a decent run in the last few weeks and more of like a 14-16 team guy was Brad Wanamaker, but he only played 18 minutes, went for 11, 2, and 3 with a 3 and a steal. And when Gordon Hayward comes back, I think he'll pretty much disappear, but he's more of a deep league special right there.
Yeah, you know, I think they really like Daniel Theis. His he's so gritty and more defensive minded than Cantor, and they really like that next to Tatum and Brown and Kemba Walker. It's like you got so much offense there that you need that guy that gets down and dirty, that doesn't mind, you know, rebounding, playing D, get like and so, you know, just like you said, Kurt, him, he's gonna render Cantor not ownable, and then Cantor could get the hot hand, and Cantor could end up with, you know, 24 minutes, and Theis is only gonna get 18 like he saw tonight. And so it's like, it's just a really tough situation for standard leagues. Kurt, I picked him up, and I have a 14 team league where I'm desperate for center help. I'm like, it's a roto style league, category league. I'm like down at the bottom in rebounds and blocks, and there's nothing on the wire. I picked him up and just hoping he just get me like I don't even care if he scores points. I just need him to get me 10 boards and a block or two, and I'll be happy. So I'm going to hang on to him in a couple spots like that.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that.
Yeah. All right, Kurt, what went down on the Knicks side of this game?
Well, Adrian, we had Marcus Morris, who has been one of the most reliable players for the Knicks. He wasn't playing tonight with some neck spasms I don't know how long he's supposed to be out. I didn't see any extended timetable on him. So with him out, Kevin Knox got the start, 11-5 with 2 blocks and 2 threes. Very deep leaguers. You can maybe look at him while Morris is out. Frank Ntilikina, he was out tonight with, well, he played 7 minutes, and then he left with a back issue from what I'm reading. So he'll be better on most nights, get you those defensive stats. With him out, DSJ played 38 minutes, the most of anyone on the team, and had 17 points, 1 rebound, 7 assists, 2 threes. I'm not rushing to pick him up anywhere. If Ntilikina is going to miss some extended time, 14, 16 teamers could look to him. DFS guys could maybe look to him. Julius Randle had one of his better percentage games today, 26, 5, and 2, no steals, no blocks, 4 turnovers, 50% from the field, and 10 of 13 from the free throw line. He's been kind of murdering you in percentages and turnovers, but tonight's line, not so bad. Taj Gibson started, 4 steals, nothing to see there. RJ Barrett shot 4 of 13 from the field, 8 of 13 from the free throw line, so like his buddy Randle, just murdering you in percentages, but didn't turn it over today. He had 16 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. And, ooh, Damian Dotson. He popped up today. I may have said before, I had a softness for him last year because he went on a 3-point barrage last year and really helped me in some leagues. Played 32 minutes, had 10 points, 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Probably not worth looking at this point. The guy you are probably getting sick and tired of us saying is a buy low is Mitchell Robinson. He fouled out tonight in only 20 minutes, 6 points, 5 rebounds, no blocks. I think that's only the second time this year he didn't have a block. If you're trying to find the silver lining, I guess you could say he went 100% from the field, 2 for 2, and 100% from the free throw line, 2 for 2. I'm still considering him a buy low. And even if this wonky season or low minutes, falling out, you know, he's still having the same issues he had last year. But even with that going on, he's still averaging about 2 blocks a game. So that's, I think, in the top 5 of the NBA, if I'm just spitballing. And we know that if Fizdale gets fired or if Robinson can tone the fouls down, he can get closer to that 2.5, maybe 3 blocks a game. It really sucks if you spend a second or third round pick on him. I don't think he's going to be a returning value near that. Maybe a top 50 type guy. Things break right, maybe 40, 30. But I'm still trying to buy low on him because those block numbers are just so juicy, and he can win that category on his own. There was a game last year, I think, in November, so just over a year ago, where I first took note of him, where he blocked 9 shots in one game. Somebody who's got that kind of potential needs to be owned, and I would continue to send buy low offers for him. Adrian, what's your take on the Knicks?
Oh, man, I'm just every day thankful that I avoided pretty much all Knicks. And, you know, I know Dennis Smith Jr. could be a popular pickup tonight because of the fact that he had 17 points and it looks like a nice line. But this guy has been just notorious for bad percentages, very bad inefficiency, high turnovers. So I don't want anything to do with him. And, you know, we're still waiting for Elfrid Payton to return. And I still think that Ntilikina is like their starter. So it's just a bad situation in that backcourt. And I like your take on buying low on Mitchell Robinson, only because, man, I know some people that have Mitchell Robinson and they're like frustrated and fed up. So I feel like you can kind of take advantage of that feeling that these managers have that have Mitchell Robinson, and I think you can really get him pretty low right now. And as you said, this is a guy, if he does start rolling, you know, a lot of buzz that Fizdale will eventually be out in New York. And if that's the case, maybe we got a head coach who really lets Mitchell Robinson loose. And man, this guy can put up some high block numbers without a doubt. So, yeah, I like that take, Kurt, on buying low on Mitchell Robinson. And, man, it just feels like his value just gets low, like lower and lower as we wait. So Yeah, make that move. All right, you guys, let's keep it going here. The Dallas, next game up, the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Mavericks giving the Lakers their first victory in, I mean, their first defeat in quite a while, man. This Dallas Mavericks team, 114 to 100. I'm going to look in on Dallas' side of the game first, and you know I got to start with Luka Doncic. Man, this guy's averaging a triple-double. 27 points, 10 assists, 9 boards with 3 steals. He does it all. 4 threes, 10 of 23 from the line. I'm surprised he... I'm sorry, 3 of 3 from the line, 10 of 23 from the field. I'm surprised he only took 3 free throws tonight because he's really good from there. Porzingis with 15 points, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, no blocks. You know, Porzingis has been a little disappointing, these low-end lines like we saw here today, but you definitely just gonna stick with him. I don't know, maybe even float some buy low offers for Porzingis. I know some guys who used like a third round pick on Porzingis and they're not exactly ecstatic with his production so far. Dwight Powell making an appearance for this one. 15 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, 6 of 11 from the field. I know this is a guy that a lot of people were high on coming into the year, thinking that he would be a standard league guy. He just, you know, there hasn't been a lot of usage left over after Doncic and Porzingis for him, but this is a nice game. Keep an eye on Powell. Tim Hardaway Jr., who was making some noise last week, kind of falling back down to earth in this one with 8 points, 2 steals, 2 boards. Finney Smith has had some hot games as well, but he only had 6 points, 5 boards in 21 minutes. You know, off the bench, I've seen DeLon Wright getting dropped in some shallower leagues, and you know, even though he came off the bench, 17 points, 4 steals, 9 assists, 3 threes tonight on 7 of 12 shooting. I think people thought that he was going to do this like throughout the season. So keep an eye on DeLon Wright. I think, too, you know, if he was dropped in your league, it could be worth the pickup. You know, I mean, if it's a really shallow league, like a 10-team league, probably not. But you know, I've got some 12-team leagues where if somebody dropped them, I've got some garbage on the end of my roster that I would drop for DeLon Wright if he was available. Not much else here. Kurt, what do you think of the Mavericks?
Man, Luka just continues the feast. I think he'll be a top 5 fantasy asset in almost all regards for probably close to the next decade. I missed out on him in almost all spots because I didn't see him making such positive gains in both percentages and still chipping in steals and threes. He's doing everything. So, yeah, top 3, maybe top 5 guy. Great guy to own. And like you said, Porzingis, I also feel like he's been quiet this year, which is kind of surprising because I was looking at his numbers. He's number 56 on the season, 9 CAD average. But he hasn't seemed to just pop or go completely bonkers yet. And most of that is because he's playing next to Luka, but still giving you 2.2 threes and 2.2 blocks. So the blocks are elite, and finding a guy that can give you that combination, those blocks and threes, I mean, that's why he's the unicorn. So if we have the perception that he's not really performing well, like you said, in a lot of leagues he was going in the third round. His preseason rank was 33, so he's about 20-some spots below that. I would definitely send a buy low offer if you think that you can swipe him away from an unsatisfied owner. And the other thing I have, I'd drop Dwight Powell in every spot where I had him. Maybe he turns it around after this performance. And DeLon Wright off the bench. After putting up a night like this, you probably have to grab him. He was already inside the top 150. Which is kind of surprising because he's had a really muted season so far, but we know what he can do if he's going to trend up in the minutes and he's going to be shooting more shots. He's a great guy to own. So if you have somebody to cut in standard leagues, I think you can do it. But, man, I kind of want to see him do it again. Mm-hmm. But with as much buzz as he had coming into the year, after seeing him do this one time, you're probably going to see him scooped up in a decent amount of leagues.
Mm-hmm.
that's really all I have there. On the Lakers side, Anthony Davis, I feel like a lot of people are saying they're disappointed with him so far this year. He went for 27-10, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 1 3, perfect at the line, 6-6, 10-21 from the field. A lot of his value comes from, or a lot of his kind of, I would say, hidden value comes from his percentages and lack of turnovers. A lot of those guys in the first round, you know, your James Hardens, try to think of other examples. Like, some of them take a ding because of their high turnovers and their low field goal percentage. But Anthony Davis really doesn't hurt you in any category. And I know some people, well, probably a lot of people, took him with their first overall pick. He's still number 3 on a per game average prior to tonight. So not bad. He was number 1, I think, last week. So he's right up there in that top 3 threshold, number 2 on totals. So yeah, he's not popping off for 50 points a game and doing that kind of stuff like Harden does, or giving you these monster triple doubles like Luka does, but still easily a top 3 guy with top 1 potential. LeBron James, I'm pretty sure he's leading the league in assists this year. He had 25, 9, and 8, 4 steals, which is amazing. I was hoping for him to have more because apparently he had 3 steals in the first 3 minutes. No blocks, 6 turnovers, perfect 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 11 of 20 from the field, no threes. JaVale McGee had 4 and 10 with a block. Danny Green, 8 and 2, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 threes. He hangs on to standard league value. He's not exciting to own, but he gets you that 1.9 threes and 1.3 steals, so you could do worse than Danny Green. Other than that, Alex Caruso played 25 minutes off the bench. He had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, more of a deep, deep league guy. Man, the Lakers team here is so deep. Like, I watched them against Washington the other day, and it's like everybody out there was just doing something. So with that happening, it's hard for anyone besides AD and James to really have consistent value. Danny Green's standard league guy, just barely. And Kyle Kuzma is way over-owned. I think he's owned in 80% of leagues. All he does is score and hit threes. And that's not enough, considering now he's coming off the bench for 20-ish minutes a game, 4 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. If you have Kyle Kuzma, it's time to move on.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think most of us expected this from the Lakers, that it was going to be LeBron and it was going to be AD and everyone else was going to be, you know, there's going to be some nights where Danny Green blows up, some nights where JaVale or Dwight Howard have a big double-double, but from a night-to-night basis, it's hard to trust that. And Kurt, I'm one of these guys that drafted Anthony Davis with the number 1 overall pick in the HoopBall Staff League. And, you know, when you take a guy, when you have the number 1 pick, the biggest problem is that player you choose needs to finish as the number 1 player. So your margin of error is, like, really small. So, like, if you take a guy number 1 and he finishes as the number 5 player, you pretty much failed. Your job when you have the number 1 pick is to pick the guy who's going to finish as the number 1 player. And so that's a kind of a difficult thing to do. And so, you know, I agree with you. Anthony Davis is great. In fact, I'm looking at the overall ranking, and he's sitting number 1 from what I'm seeing. He's been fantastic. But I think what the problem is, Kurt, is you see Harden flirt with 60, and then you're like, man, why didn't I pick James Harden? Like, I had an opportunity. And, you know, it's like a guy blows up for 60 multiple times, or, like, that can single-handedly win you a head-to-head matchup. So I think, you know, it's I'm one of these guys that, like, I drafted Anthony Davis, and I agree with you. Anthony Davis is great, but you're just really nitpicky up at the very top because you want – you're just thinking to yourself, did I get the very best guy? And so, you know, it's just a kind of a difficult situation sometimes to be in. That sounds horrible, right, Kurt? I'm, like, making it sound like it's hard to have the number 1 pick.
This year, man, it was tough. We had, what, 4 guys? Some people were saying 5 competing for number 1.
Yeah.
You had AD, Towns, Harden, and Curry. Obviously, Curry's been eliminated from that, but you couldn't have predicted that. Just some bad luck. And some people were saying Giannis. I had him firmly number five because of the free throw percentage. I wasn't expecting to be this bad. But yeah, I hear you. So you get that number one pick, and I so rarely have that number one pick that I got it in one spot this year, and I almost panicked because you have more options. Like, if you're number three, number four, your pick's almost laid out for you, or you have a coin flip. But at number one, all of a sudden I started to panic, and I did end up taking Harden in that spot, and I'm loving it. Somebody actually offered me AD for Harden, and I quick turned that down. But you can't go wrong with these guys. AD, Harden, Kat, they're all going to be great.
Yep, definitely. All right, let's keep it going. The next game up, man, what a big night of action. The next game up, the OKC Thunder versus the New Orleans Pelicans. This was another tight game, man. The Thunder getting the victory. This is what I love. Not a lot of blowouts. This is great. The Thunder getting the victory 107-104. I'm going to take a look at the Thunder side of this game first. Some nice lines from the Thunder. The one that's popping out at me the most is Gallo, Danilo Gallinari, 23 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 8 of 14 shooting from the field, 4 threes on 3 of 4 from the line. You know, we knew that Gallo was going to be a good option this year as long as he stayed healthy, and he's kind of living up to that standard. And so fingers crossed that this guy can just stay on the court all year, because I feel like he's been pretty good. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 17 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 threes. He only shot 5 of 17 from the field, but he did go 5 of 6 from the line. And, you know, I feel like this is a pretty good game. He had a couple games last week where he put up some low-end lines, like 9 points with little else. So it's nice to see him have a nice game like this, and hopefully he can get rolling here. Chris Paul has been pretty good. He has been quietly really solid this year. 16 points with 8 assists, 4 rebounds. No defensive stats, but did give you 2 threes on an efficient 6 of 9 shooting from the field, 2 of 2 from the line. Steven Adams, man, this is what I like to see. You know, I expected Steven Adams to really see a spike in his boards and his production this year, with Westbrook being gone and Jeremy Grant being gone. So really happy to see him get a double-double here. 17 points with 10 boards, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 6 of 7 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line. Let's hope he can get rolling. You know, was dealing with some minor injury stuff to start the season. So let's hope this guy can get healthy and start rolling for you. Dennis Schroeder is a guy you don't mind owning off the bench. 17 points, 2 assists, 3 rebounds. He's been pretty good. I was not even expecting him really to be viable in standard leagues, and he's definitely been that, if not more. Nerlens Noel, another guy who has been pretty good lately. Now, he only saw, you know, with Steven Adams starting to get it going, Noel only saw 19 minutes here tonight, so keep an eye on that situation. He had 8 points, 1 steal, 1 block, 5 rebounds. He shot 3 of 6 from the field. Now, other than that, not a lot else here. No one else that I would trust. Not even in, like, deeper leagues, really. Kurt, what do you think of the Thunder?
You nailed it, Adrian. The only guy that has really been moving the needle lately is Nerlens Noel. He's number 86 on the season, 9 cat, on the strength of 0.9 steals and 1.8 blocks, and that's been up even higher in the last couple weeks. But, like you said, Steven Adams isn't just going to fall apart, which it seemed like maybe he would earlier in the season. So he's been doing that in only 18 minutes. So wow. Number 86 in only 18 minutes, he definitely needs to be owned. Personally, I don't own him anywhere, and I'm just not stoked with the minutes. I like my guys to be getting 25, 30 minutes a game. But you can't argue with number 86 on the season. And if Adams goes down or gets traded, gets shut down, Noel could have a solid run. I don't really have anything else on the Thunder. It's kind of the usual suspects here.
All right. What went down on the Pelicans side of this game?
On the Pelicans side, Brandon Ingram, who's been one of the biggest surprises of the season for me. He's been a second-round guy. He played 40 minutes tonight. 20 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, no steals, but did chip in 2 blocks and 2 threes. And he was 2 of 2 from the free throw line. The things that I didn't see holding were the defensive stats and the threes, but they have been. And on the season, probably the biggest surprise for me is that he's shooting 80% from the free throw line and 49% from the field. He's having a monster year. I think he definitely will take a hit when Zion comes back. So you could probably try to sell high. I can't see him dropping a whole lot, maybe a round or two in value. Jahlil Okafor got a start tonight. 4 points, 2 boards, only played 9 minutes. I don't want anything to do with him in almost any league. Jackson Hayes played 26 minutes off the bench for 9-7 with 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Hayes has been a decent streamer, 14-16 team grab, but you'll see him probably become mostly irrelevant when both Zion and Favors come back. Favors didn't play tonight. He's dealing with the death of his mother, so sorry to hear that for Favors. He's been out 7-8 games. I don't know how long he'll continue to go be out, but hope all's well with the Favors family. Lonzo Ball started tonight. He went for 14-7. No steals, but 1 block. He did have 4 threes. Getting the start was nice because we had that quote from J.J. Redick not too long ago where they said they'd finally found a starting lineup that worked, and that starting lineup included not Lonzo Ball. So the fact that he's starting, he looks good out there. He looks to have corrected his shot, especially from three-point land, and if he's going to take the majority of his shots from three, 8 out of 11 tonight were three-point attempts, he's definitely going to be a solid guy to own, and you know he can help you in steals and blocks. His free throw percentage is never going to be great. I think it's around 50%, less than 50% on the season. But it only takes about 1-2 a game. So it's not as bad as it sounds. I sent some buy low offers for him, picked him up in a couple leagues. J.J. Redick, he's been having a nice bounce back from earlier on in the season when it looked like he was a clear-cut candidate. He's been really turning it on. Tonight was actually a quieter game from him. 13-3, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 threes. Only played 29 minutes. He's been great, top 110 type of guy. Jrue Holiday, 26-4. 3 threes, no steals, no blocks, but no turnovers. He's been turning it on, taking more of a command of the team, which he needs to do. So he'll trend up. I don't know if he's going to be that late first, early second round type guy like some people were expecting, but he continues to raise his value in the recent weeks. Off the bench, Josh Hart, I think this was his first game back. Maybe it's his second. He played 33 minutes. He had 11-11, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 threes. So very nice in the cash counting department from Josh Hart. What is that? 7 cash counters. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, we know what he can do in limited minutes, but this team's very deep. He was DMPCD tonight. Kenrick Williams was a popular ad in recent weeks. He didn't play tonight because of left ankle issues. Really, that's all I have. Zion's nearing a return, so that'll be fun for this team. Adrian, what's your take on these Pels?
Man, you nailed it. You covered everything. You know what? My question, though, for you, I agree with you. You know, Ingram has just been out of his mind. Great. I pulled up the 9 cat player rater total value. He's like flirting with second round value. And so, you know, he's gonna start when Zion gets back. He's still gonna see big minutes, but you just expect Zion to be a high usage guy. You expect him to take a lot of shots. He's a really good rebounder, so you wonder if he's gonna siphon off some rebounds from Ingram's plate. So, you know, I really like your take about like trying to sell high on Ingram, but Kurt, let me ask you, I mean, this guy right now flirting with second round value, like if somebody offers you a fourth round guy for Ingram, are you okay with making that move? Like what's your point as far as like what you're getting back in return?
Gosh, and that's the tough thing, is that somebody who is, so I'm looking at his preseason ranking was 120. You could have picked this guy up in the final rounds of your draft. And anyone who did is loving it. Anyone who didn't is just kicking themselves, kind of like Andrew Wiggins. But so he's averaging 25.9 on the season in points. I can see that coming down, even if we're being less than conservative. Say he, I don't know, gives up 5 points or so, a few more shots. So maybe his points come down to closer to 20-ish. Mm-hmm. Rebounds are at 7.4. Maybe those come down a couple. Assists, I think those can stay the same or maybe even going up.
Yep.
Throwing the ball to Zion. Steals and blocks, I don't see why those should change. His turnovers might come down because when you have such defensively – a guy who's going to command so much defensive attention, maybe he's not going to turn it over as much. So maybe his 49% from the field can actually come up too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like he's going to help Ingram but also hurt him a little bit. I could see him falling maybe a round or so in value, maybe a round and a half. But as we just kind of talked about, like some of his numbers are going up, some of them are going down. It might actually better his value. And like you said, most people probably aren't giving up a second round pick for him. As much as you want to sell high, it might be hard to realistically do that.
Yeah.
What kind of like second, third round guy would you accept for him?
Well, man, like, you know, I'm just looking at the player right now. I'll make this kind of quick. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody would move Tatum or Kemba or Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo. You know, that could be a decent one. Al Horford. You know, I would move Ingram for any of these guys. I doubt that the people that have those guys would. Yeah, I would. I think, well, I don't know. I mean, if you need a big, like if you're targeting I'm okay with Horford. You know, I think that I think Embiid's gonna miss more games down the stretch, and I think Horford will be all right. Horford is right now sitting as a third round value in 9 category leagues, which is a little surprising. I think I could make that move, but like, you know, there's some guys sitting here: Danilo Gallinari, Rashawn Holmes. You know, Bojan Bogdanovic is really high on the player radar. I would rather have Ingram over all of these guys. Marcus Smart, Evan Fournier is really high on the player radar here. Like, so, you know, I would take Ingram over all those guys. But as you said, it's a really tricky move to make because, you know, I think it's hard getting those studs for Ingram, and you don't want to sell Ingram too low, because I agree with you, Kurt, even if he drops a round of value, he's still going to be really good. So like, you don't want to sell low on him, and I don't know, it's a really tricky situation. Anyways, let's keep going. I could talk to you about that all night. Let's move to the next game, the Spurs and the Pistons. Pistons getting the big victory here, 132-98. I'm going to check in on San Antonio, which is never a fun thing to say, Kurt, looking in on San Antonio's side. They've not been a fun team for fantasy, but, you know, one guy who's been pretty steady is DeMar DeRozan, 20 points, 2 assists with 4 boards, 1 steal, 1 3 on 6-12 shooting. He went 7-8 from the line. Little strange to see him take 3 threes, actually. Not known for giving you some good 3-point production. Should mention LaMarcus Aldridge missed this game. He missed this one due to a thigh issue. I don't think it sounds serious, so hopefully we see him back pretty soon. Jakob Poeltl getting the start. He's been a popular pickup in some deeper leagues. He had 8 points. Love to see the defensive stats. 1 block, 3 steals. He had 1 assist, 5 boards. Shot 4 of 6 from the field. Rudy Gay got the start with LaMarcus Aldridge out. He had 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal on 5-12 shooting. Bryn Forbes, you know, he's off and on. The backcourt is really, really bad situation with San Antonio. They got this weird three-headed monster with Forbes, Derek White, DeJounte Murray, and it's been really hard to own any of these guys. Speaking of, Derek White had 7 points in 23 minutes. He also added a steal, a block, 3 assists, 1-3. DeJounte Murray, you know, love to see him get the 3 steals. Very good guard defender, but only 5 points in 22 minutes, man. It's just really tough. Real tough go for this San Antonio backcourt. Off the bench, man, not too much to talk about here. No one I would trust, not even in deep leagues. It's just kind of not a great situation for fantasy in San Antonio. And you kind of wonder if there might be some changes on the horizon here for the Spurs. Kurt, what are your thoughts on San Antonio?
My thoughts are I'm glad I don't own any of them. Man. What can you take? Like, nothing changes here. DeJounte Murray is obviously one of the biggest underperformers on this team. He's on a minutes cap. He's not playing back-to-backs. And he's frankly just not producing. I wanted nothing to do with this timeshare, and I'm glad I'm not involved. If you are involved, DeJounte Murray, probably hold on. He was number 84 by preseason ranks in Yahoo, and he's currently 130, 9 cap per game. So I would say he really has nowhere to go but up. He's still averaging 1.4 steals, which is a big part of his value. When the minutes cap comes off, when he's able to play back-to-backs, which hopefully will be at some point, I mean, we're 5-6 weeks into the season, he, I think, is the point guard you want to own here. And I think you can buy low on him. And it's probably hard to do because you're like, why would I want to get involved and own this guy? You probably have some low-end guys that you can probably trade for him. I'm sure his owner is beyond infuriated here. And you don't hear a whole lot about the minutes cap. So some people might not realize that he's on that minutes cap. Derek White, even though he's starting, I'm not picking him up in any of the leagues he was dropped in. Bryn Forbes had been a three-point streamer that was nice early to start the season, but he's beyond cooled off. One guy that maybe you deep leaguers can look at or somebody who you can maybe stash is Lonnie Walker. He only played 16 minutes, but I think this was his best game of the year. 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal, and a 3. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I know there was a lot of hype coming in on him in the early going of the season or the preseason. So if you're looking for one of those shot-in-the-dark gamble-type guys, again, the backcourt here is already so messy that maybe you just don't want to get involved. But if you have a super deep bench where you have some weekly lineups where you just there's nobody out there, I could see maybe looking at Lonnie Walker. Do you know much about him, Adrian?
Yeah, I was actually a big fan of Lonnie Walker when he came into the NBA draft and had an injury that kind of ruined his rookie year. But just a do-it-all type guard, really good defender, two-way player, very athletic, can handle the rock. In fact, at Summer League, he was playing point guard for them at Summer League, which is strange because he's more of a shooting guard type. So just a real athletic all-around nice player. But, man, it's just with Forbes and Derek White and DeJounte Murray and even DeMar DeRozan, because he could even play that position as well. Just really hard to see Lonnie Walker getting run. Now, what we are watching for is some rumors that if San Antonio decides to make some changes, and, you know, why not with, what are they, 7-14? Yeah. It doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs in the first time in a long time. Why not move DeMar DeRozan, a guy who's probably, you know, not a rebuilding or like not a young piece to build around? So, you know, with if let's say the Spurs decide to move DeRozan, it could really open things up for the backcourt and for the wing position, which could be good for a guy like Lonnie Walker. So keep an eye on that situation. But I think it, you know, it's not any kind of move you need to make you need to jump on, even in deeper leagues. It's just a situation we're watching as far as Lonnie Walker goes. What went down on the Pistons side of this game?
Alrighty, so some of these lines are a bit muted. Remember that they won by almost 40. So Blake Griffin only played 22 minutes, 10, 2, and 6. No steals, no blocks, no threes, 4 of 12 from the field. He wasn't really needed down the stretch. Andre Drummond he survived. He had 26 minutes, 9 and 16, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. 1 of 4 from the free throw line. Hopefully that's not going to trend back to his old Drummond numbers. Tony Snell started, and he is not worth mentioning. Luke Kennard has been a nice surprise this season. 24 and 20 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 4 threes. He's been doing pretty well with Blake Griffin around. I thought he would take a bigger hit than he has. You can probably just keep holding on there. Maybe you can sell high, but you know, we haven't seen a big ding from Blake Griffin on him so far. Bruce Brown, 13 and 7, 3 assists, 1 3. Only took 8 shots. He's been an okay guy to own, probably in 14 teamers, I would say, or if you have somebody that's just trash on the end of your bench in a standard league, he should probably be owned in all 14, 16 teamers and deeper. Christian Wood is probably the most noteworthy guy for the Pistons tonight. He only played 22 minutes. He had 28 points, 10 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 threes, 11 of 14 from the field, so that's not really sustainable, and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. You might see people run to the wire and pick him up. Remember, the Pistons won this one by almost 40, so I probably wouldn't do that. He's a per-minute monster, kind of like Chris Boucher. You know that and he's out there in limited minutes. He's going to get you stats across the board. He's more of a stash, in my opinion. If you have a super deep bench or you're in one of those weekly lineups leagues where you can afford to keep him on the bench, kind of as a handcuff to either Griffin or Drummond, maybe you could do that. But in terms of standard leagues, probably even 14 teamers, I don't think he's a pickup. I'm going to massacre this guy's name. Sviatoslav Mikhailuk. I know the last name is Mikhailuk. He played 23 minutes. He had 13 points and 2 threes. Maybe very, very deep leagues. One guy who took a hit tonight, but again, just throw this away if you own him because of the blowout. Langston Galloway only played 21 minutes, and he came off the bench. I'm pretty sure he's been starting in place of Tony Snell, so I'm not sure why they moved to Tony Snell because, I mean, he kind of smells. Langston Galloway had 8 points and 2 threes. Really, guys? Derrick Rose only played 19 minutes. Again, blowout factor. 10 points, 10 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3. So Derrick Rose really gave you a solid line in only 19 minutes. Other than that, Adrian, I'm not moved by anything that happened on the Pistons side, are you?
No, not at all. Although Christian Wood, man, he is very tantalizing, but as you said, Kurt, under the current situation, I don't think we need to make a move on him. But now, in certain situations, in certain leagues where you can afford to stash a guy, I think the Pistons are interesting because they are, what are they, 7-13? They're like 3 spots out of the playoffs in a weak Eastern Conference. I mean, what am I trying to say here? Why do they want to keep doing this, man? There's been some buzz that Andre Drummond, that Charlotte has some interest in Andre Drummond. Really? Why not try to move Drummond? Why not try to move a very injury-prone Blake Griffin, who you haven't been able to win with? And if the Pistons ever decide to go down that road this year, which in their current trajectory, why not? I think now Christian Wood could be an interesting guy, as well as Luke Kennard, who you mentioned, and we could throw maybe Bruce Brown into that category as well. So, you know, it's the usual suspects with the Pistons, unless they decide to blow it up. And then, Kurt, we might be running to wire to grab a guy like Christian Wood, who, as you said, Kurt, in the similar as in the Chris Boucher vein, can put up some. This guy can put up some big numbers given the opportunity. So a guy I'm definitely watching, and in the right situation, if I have the luxury to stash a guy where I'm not getting killed, and I can stash a guy in deep leagues, I might already try to make that move. But anyways, it's maybe it's just me being hopeful, Kurt. I don't know, man. Okay, let's jump over to The Utah Jazz and the Toronto Raptors. Well, my computer's loading. Okay, here we go. The Raptors getting the victory 130 to 110. I'm going to look in on the Utah side first. And pretty disappointing game from Mitchell Robinson. 16 points, only shot 6 of 16. 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 rebound, 2 threes. A guy who's been really good, Bojan Bogdanovic, man. This guy has been really good. Just I feel like he kind of just took over that Joe Ingles role we've seen in seasons past. 11 points, 1-3. You know, tonight, didn't really have it going here tonight, but man, he had some lines last week that had me shaking my head, like, wow. He only shot 5 of 14, 7 boards, 2 assists. Gobert with double-doubled with 12 points, 11 rebounds, 1 block, 1 assist, 4 of 7 shooting, 4 of 8 from the line, prone to have some bad shooting from the line. You know, Mike Conley turning things around, 20 points for him, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, 4 threes on 7 of 13 shooting from the field. He was perfect 2 of 2 from the line. Let's see, off the bench, Green had a nice game off the bench. Jeff Green, prone to have some nice games, but man, in just 15 minutes, hard to trust. But tonight had 19 points, 2 steals, 3 rebounds, 1-3. He was a perfect 6-6 from the line, 6 of 11 from the field. But man, even in deep leagues, I don't think we can trust him. And not too much, man. Joe Ingles, I've seen him hit the wire pretty much everywhere. And he's going to probably stay there on the wire this season, man. It's just not happening for him. Kurt, what do you think of Utah?
The only thing here, like I said, that I'm kind of monitoring, and honestly not really even actively monitoring, is Joe Ingles. He had a couple good games, so maybe he was going to string it together. And tonight, 6-3-4. Played 26 minutes, which is encouraging, but this was in a 20-point blowout, so he can't even put up decent numbers in a blowout. I don't know if it's a mental thing coming off the bench, because he normally is a good contributor, even in like mid-20s minutes, but I'm not picking him up anywhere. He's been dropped in almost every one of my leagues. And I think you said Mitchell Robinson, but I think everyone knows you meant Donovan Mitchell.
Did I say Mitchell?
Oh. No worries, though. I just had to double check and make sure we weren't looking at Knicks. The other guy,
oh, no, man.
My good man. The other thing, like you said, Conley. I own him everywhere. I bought low on him where I could, and it just doesn't seem like it's in the cards for him to be that top, I don't know, 40-50 guy that we're hoping. He's currently 223 on the season, 9 CAD average. But I think better days are in store. Just remember again that this is the first time he's ever playing with a brand new team. So he's been in the league, what, 10, 12 years? And this is the first time that he's playing with a new team. So it's going to take time to get integrated. You know, he probably wants to defer some. Yeah, I own him everywhere. I think he's still a buy low guy, but where he finishes is definitely very cloudy at this point. Other than that, like you said, I don't see much off the bench here. You want to jump over to the Raptors?
Yes, sir.
All right. Pascal Siakam's great season continues. He had 35 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 5 three-pointers, and he took 9 of them. Mark Gasol, surprisingly, I haven't seen him dropped anywhere. I feel like I'd see him dropped in places. But tonight he had 11 points, and fact check me on this, I think it's the first time since like November 6th that he had double-digit points. Mm-hmm. He also had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, no steals, 2 blocks, 3 threes. The surprising thing is, you think he'd do better with Ibaka out? It took Ibaka coming back for him to get double-digit points, so that's strange. He's definitely not the Marc Gasol of old. What is he, 35 now? But he's still getting hefty minutes. He's still starting, and he's contributing in pretty much every area besides points. So He's low-key. I mean, kind of decent. Let me see. Where is he on the player rater so far? He is number 195. Okay, so he's kind of low. He was default ranked number 76 coming the season. So you're definitely not getting the return you hope for, but I don't think he's droppable. Norm Powell, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, 2 threes. That is a very well-rounded line, but Lowry is due to return any day now. And when he does, I think Powell is going to become basically irrelevant, maybe a 16-teamer. And he doesn't normally give you these peripheral stats, the 5 rebounds, the 3 assists, the 4 steals. He's mainly a points and threes kind of guy. Fred VanVleet, 21-11. He had 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 5 threes. He's been having a monster season. I have to admit, I did not see it coming. Not to this extent, anyway. But I think he's a sell-high guy. He's still going to be fine when Lowry comes back, but he's definitely going to take a ding. Chris Boucher, one of those other per-minute monsters we talked about. He only played 5 minutes. Not worth owning anywhere if he's not going to get minutes. If there was ever a time for him to break into standard league value, it would have been when Ibaka was out. But Ibaka's back now. He played 21 minutes. He had 13, 4, and 3 with 1 steal. No blocks, but he had 2 threes. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson continues to get minutes. I would think they'd go to Boucher over RHJ. But Rondé had 10, 6, and 2. 1 steal, 2 blocks. I haven't looked at his value, but he's probably a 14-team grab. I don't think he's worth a standard league pickup. Terrence Davis, he's been a nice 3-point guy off the bench, but I don't trust him in standard leagues. Maybe 14, 16 teamers, 13, 4, and 3, 2 threes. I missed OG Anunoby. He played 30 minutes. He had 10 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 4 steals, 1 block, no threes. Only took 5 shots. He's been trending down. Early in the season, I think he was basically a second rounder. Right now, he is currently 75 in 9-cat. His blocks have dropped below 1. There was a point earlier in the season where he was 1.7, 1.7, 1.7 for 3 steals and blocks. The steals have dropped to 1.1 on the season, and the blocks have dropped to 0.9. Threes have gone up slightly to 1.8. He's not going to be that second round type guy, but I've seen drop questions for him. Like I said, he's still number 75, and a guy who, on a worst-case scenario, is averaging 1-1-1. I think he has to be owned, and if people are considering dropping him, that means you might be able to buy low on him. I would love to have him on any one of my teams. Adrian, what's your take on these guys?
Man, you covered it all. The Raptors are very good, man. A lot of people expected them to fall off a cliff when Kawhi and Danny Green left Toronto, but they've been really, really good this year. And you know, they're just really talented team all around. And with you know, Siakam emerging as a superstar, all-star type player, OG Anunoby. They're just deep. They just got like a bunch of guys they fill in, like Hollis Jefferson and Powell, and they're all good two-way players. They're just really good. And for fantasy, like we saw tonight, I mean, gosh, how many players scored in double figures tonight? It's like 7 or 8 players in double figures. It's just they're just a really good team. Kurt, I've heard some panic about the return of Lowry regarding VanVleet, and you know, I have VanVleet in a few leagues this year. He's been spectacular if you drafted him. I mean, he was like a late mid-round guy, and he's returning like early round value right now, so you just enjoy the ride if you got VanVleet. And don't freak out, because he was starting in the beginning of the year when Lowry was healthy, and he was playing well next to Lowry. So even though Van Vliet may take a hit, I'm not expecting him to take a major hit where now he's a late round guy. I think he's still going to be a really nice fantasy asset. So don't freak out. But I love your take though, Kurt. If you can sell high, I mean, it is ridiculous right now where Van Vliet is sitting on the player radar ranking. So if you can somehow take advantage of that and get a stud, Kurt, I'll give you an example. In my home league, I got a guy thinking over right now, Zion for Van Vliet. So, yeah, now he's in a situation where he's loaded with bigs. He's got a couple hurt players. He's tired of waiting for Zion. He's desperate for point guard help, and he's seeing Van Vliet put up multi-digit assist numbers every night. Like, he put up 11 tonight. So, and then he's looking on the player radar and seeing Van Vliet's current value. So I think at the beginning of the year, that would get vetoed. On the first day of the season, a trade like that would be vetoed. So anyways, Raptors are spectacular, man. All right, let's jump over to the Golden State Warriors and the Orlando Magic. Close game here. The Magic getting the victory 100-96. Gonna look in on the Warriors side of this game. It's been a pretty bumpy ride for the Warriors with all the injuries and just really strange to see them be the favorites to win the title last year to being maybe one of the worst teams, maybe the worst team in the NBA this year. I guess I'll start with where shall I start? You know what? I'm going to start with Willie Cauley-Stein, a very popular ad. And if he's somehow still sitting there, I think he's definitely worth a pickup everywhere. Double-doubled tonight with 11 points, 12 boards, a steal, a block. I think this is exactly what this guy could do for the rest of the season. Even when this team becomes healthier, I think he's likely going to just start at center all year. And I think he's pretty good. Green played in this one. I think he was iffy coming in, or is he iffy now? Let me take a look at this. I don't know. I'm really curious if we see Draymond Green play the next one. I don't think we will. He had 11 points, 2 steals, 7 assists, 4 rebounds. I would be pretty concerned if you got Draymond Green, man. If he can somehow string together 3 or 4 good games in a row, I think you go target that team that's desperate for big help. And I'm one of those teams in a couple of leagues where I'm a big man short, and I'm like drowning in rebounds and blocks in a couple of leagues. So go target that kind of team and see. Wait for Draymond Green to put together a few good games. Robinson, man, this guy's been, I feel like this guy's been pretty good. I can't remember the last time he had a bad game. 19 points and assists, 3 rebounds, 3 threes on 8 of 16 shooting from the field. I think Glenn Robinson needs to be, I mean, he's likely already picked up in all standard leagues. Could in some deeper leagues could be available. I know in all of my 12 team leagues he's already gone there, but I think this guy's going to start all year, even when D'Angelo Russell comes back and the team gets healthier. I think he's just going to be pretty good, so make sure he's owned in your league. Alec Burks with a nice game here. 15 points, 3 steals, 3 assists, 5 boards, 1 3. He could disappear in the next one, so really tough to trust him in standard leagues, but we've also seen him have some nice games this year. So if you don't mind the ups and downs, could be worth an add. Pascal, man, 17 points with 2 assists, 6 rebounds, 6 of 14 shooting, 5 of 6 from the line. He's been good. Make sure he's not sitting on your wire. I think he's definitely worth an add. I got Kai Bowman in some deeper leagues, and I played him in the last one and he put up a really bad game, so I decided to sit him in this one. It's like a roto game cap league, and so this one the shooting wasn't great, only 4 of 12 from the field for 12 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, but I think Kai Bowman is worth rostering in some deep leagues. When D'Angelo Russell comes back, I don't think Kai Bowman will be worth playing, but I also think it's possible we see D'Angelo do what he's been doing this year, which is like sitting for periods of time and then coming back and sitting. Who knows? They could even move D'Angelo Russell. So I don't know. Keep an eye on Bowman or pick him up if he suits your team. Marquise Chris was a popular pickup. I'm not sure why, really, because, I mean, three points, two blocks. I just don't trust him in, like, a 20-minute role. I just think, yeah, he could give you a low-end double-double, but he could also give you, like, almost nothing. And, you know, if you're okay with the line he put up tonight, if you're in that deep of a league and you're really desperate for big man help, I guess he could be worth an add. Spellman, the same thing. I saw him on some waiver wire columns, and it's kind of the same thing with him. So I don't really trust Chris or Marquise Chris or Omari Spellman. Kurt, thoughts on the Warriors?
Man, I'm just stoked that I don't own Draymond Green anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I heard Dan Vesperis, one of our benevolent overlords, talking about you're just trying to sell him for pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. He said maybe a guy like Harrison Barnes is somebody you're targeting. And what a fall from grace for a guy that went in some drafts in the second round. That's probably a little high. Maybe third or fourth round.
Third at least.
Yeah, and for him to just be a disaster right now, if I owned him, what I'd be trying to do is wait for him to put 3 to 5, and that might even be a reach getting him to do 5 games, but maybe getting him to do 3 games, very solid value, and try to flip him for somebody. I don't even know who I would target, but you're gonna take a hit on that. And man, Eric Pascal, I thought he was better. He seems like he's been having a great year, but he is number 138 on the season, and his percentages are great, 50% and 80%. 17 and 5, but the peripheral stats: 0.73, 0.4 steals, 0.4 blocks, and 1.6 assists. So he's good for points, boards, and percentages, but I don't think he's as good as people are hyping him up to be. And like you said, the guy who I think is surprising is Glenn Robinson. He's in close to the top 100 because he's got one of the more fantasy-friendly stat sets. He kind of contributes across the board. And then the guy that I'm a little bummed at, because he's one of the guys I'm more excited about, is Kai Bowman. But he's coming off the bench, and we haven't even seen D'Angelo Russell yet. So when D'Lo comes back, he could vanish completely. But who knows what's going to happen with this team in terms of trades or shutdowns later in the season. I think we will revisit Kai Bowman in the future, and I think there's going to be at least one, maybe multiple times where he's going to be a guy you want to own this year because he's going to go up and down. Oh, also, the last thing I had is Kevon Looney. He's expected to return, I think, tomorrow or Tuesday.
I forgot about him.
So he's somebody that if he's sitting on your waiver wire and you have somebody to drop, I would absolutely pick him up and see what happens. He could be like a top 80, 90 type of guy.
You know what? I completely forgot that Kevon Looney was on the team, and now I'm wondering about my take on Cauley-Stein, because Looney's going to probably start at center over Cauley-Stein, so I'm kind of not as high now on Willie Cauley-Stein, although I do still think Willie Cauley-Stein should be rostered, but definitely not as a for sure thing as I thought anymore. Thank you for reminding me of that, actually.
Of course, man. And that thing with Looney, I can't remember what it is. It's like nerve stuff. So it's serious stuff. Yeah. He might come back and then, I don't know, have something happen and he might be out long term. He said he's been dealing with it for 2 or 3 years. So kind of concerning.
Yeah, that's some scary stuff when you're dealing with nerves. What went down on the Magic side of this game?
Well, sir, we have Aaron Gordon playing again. He went for a monster line of 8 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 3 on a pristine 2 of 11 from the field and 1 of 5 from three-point land, and chipped in 3 turnovers. He gets so much buzz, and he is not a good fantasy player. This guy is not good. On the season, he is... Gosh, I can't even find him. He's number 161. But he was a preseason rank of 52 because he just hurts you in those percentages so much and doesn't do a whole lot else. Jonathan Isaac, on the other hand, he doesn't get as much credit as he deserves, at least in terms of like NBA, like real basketball. You know, those of us who are fantasy fans know that this guy's a monster. But in terms of like casual, just watch the game with a bucket of popcorn NBA fans, no, I feel like they have no idea who Jonathan Isaac even is. But he went for 14 and 11 with one steal, one three, and five blocks. He is killing it in the defensive stats this year. I think it's something like 1.4 steals and 2.7 blocks. I'm spitballing. Those numbers are probably off. But they're definitely over four combined steals and blocks on the season. There are something like 10 guys who have ever done that. One of the most recent ones, you might have heard of him, was Anthony Davis. So he has just been killing it this year. I'm very bummed that I don't own him anywhere. I was so focused on getting my guards and then getting my bigs that I kind of neglected my wings. But if you own him, congratulations. It's going to be an amazing ride. And I don't think he's a sell high either. Let's see. Vooch sat out tonight. He had – what does he have going on? He had it was revealed that he had a sprain – well, obviously a right ankle, but he's also dealing with a bone bruise. And they're saying that that could take additional time to heal. So whereas he was to be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days after his injury, he might be looking at an extended absence here. I don't know how long, but in his place, we're looking at guys like Kem Birch and Mo Bamba. Prior to tonight, I thought Mo Bamba was the guy I wanted, but Kem Birch played 30 minutes. He went for 7 and 10 with 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He only took 5 shots. And for the most part, his lines have been pretty empty. He's been getting about 24, 25 minutes with not a whole lot. And Bamba was the guy I was looking at. He'd been getting threes. He's been getting blocks. He averages like 1.4 blocks on the season in only 16 minutes. So, but tonight, I think the pendulum swung more in Kem Birch's favor. Bamba off the bench only played 17 minutes. He had 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 block. Kind of a bummer for him, but he did have 4 fouls, so that may have played a factor in his playing time here. Evan Fournier had 32 points, 3 rebounds, 6 triples, took 21 shots. He's been one of those guys that you could draft at the end of your drafts, and he's been returning value. He's been doing really well. Let's see. Markelle Fultz. I was slow to the party on him. And I wasn't super stoked thinking that he could keep it up. But at this point, he's must own. He had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 50% from the field, and 2 of 3 from the free throw line. So he's definitely somebody that needs to be owned if he's somehow still floating around. He's owned in all of my leagues at this point. I was a little too slow on him. I wasn't completely sure if he would keep it up. I had other similar guys like Darius Garland, Isaiah Thomas were all kind of in that same realm for me, and I had some of the formers. So if he's still floating on your wire, you need to pick him up. His backup, DJ Augustine, played 24 minutes but had 0 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Otherwise of note off the bench, we had Terrence Ross, who got to play 29 minutes tonight. He had 19 points and 3 threes. If you own Ross, that's really what you want, is a scoring in the threes. He doesn't usually get you a whole lot else. He's close to a steal per game. Today he had 1 steal, 1 assist, 4 rebounds. Al Jefferson, I didn't realize he was still in the league. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Emile Jefferson. He was a DMPCD. I got excited seeing Al Jefferson came on there for a second. Adrian, what else you got on the Magic?
Man, can I tell you, I dropped Markelle Fultz like 2 weeks ago in my home roto league. It's like a 13 team deep roster league, and man, he was putting up like 8 or 9 points with like 2 assists and like just giving me low end lines, and I was like, I'm good at point guard, I'm gonna just drop this guy and work the wire, and I'm regretting it, man. Like, I feel like as soon as I dropped him, he started turning things around and started having nights like tonight. And I think Fultz is going to improve as the year goes on, which is kind of what we're seeing. Like, he's already like you feel like taking a next step from what he was doing early in the season. And who knows, maybe we see him keep going. So as you said, Kurt, if he's somehow still sitting, make sure Fultz is owned, because I think at some point he'll be a reliable guy. And love your take on Isaac, man. I am so I'm so depressed I don't have Jonathan Isaac anywhere.
Me too, buddy.
Man, I would love to have this guy. I mean, if this guy was on my team, I feel like I would be cruising to a championship, because he's like the missing piece. And can I tell you, Kurt, he is not an easy guy to trade for. I tried to float some trade offers. Like, the Jonathan Isaac owner knows that he's good, and you gotta give up like major value to steal Jonathan Isaac from a guy. So very tough guy to trade for. You gotta give up a lot to get him. So yeah.
I have a question for you. So we talked about Brandon Ingram and who you might sell, and we talked about guys who were taken in the second or third round. Obviously Isaac's more around 5, 6, 7. Who would you rather have between Isaac and Ingram?
I take Jonathan Isaac just because of those defensive stats. Man, 5 blocks tonight? I mean, I'm just in some leagues where I'm having trouble. I didn't draft. I was so focused on those point guards. I was one center short, and I'm paying the price, and I would kill to have those blocks. So, yeah, man, I would take Jonathan Isaac just because of the blocks. He's just fantastic. And just as you said, Kurt, you nailed it. Like, he's sneaky good because people don't realize how efficient he is. Like, you know, he's never going to have, like, a 40-point game like Harden. But, like, tonight, shooting, you know, he's 5 of 6 from the line, 4 of 9 from the field, just efficient, 11 boards. He's just a like a quiet monster. And, man, I'm just like so depressed I don't have him anywhere. I wish I like you, Kurt, was like so focused in other areas that he was going off the board. I just wasn't looking at him when he was going off the board, and anyways, missed out. All right, you guys, there's one more game still going on, and I'm going to have to take this one on later tonight solo, because my wife is probably going to murder me, Kurt. As usual, Kurt and I talking can just talk up a storm. But before we get out of here, Kurt, what you up to? Where can the listeners find you at?
I'm just living the dream, my good man. I can be reached on Twitter at Captain Knegis, CAINEGHIS. It's probably in the description, kind of hard to spell. Hit me up there. I try to get back as soon as I can on any trade, add, drop questions, as long as I'm not at work. That's really it. We appreciate you guys tuning in. If you have any feedback for us, again, hit us up, let us know if we're missing anybody, if we're not going in depth enough, which I think would be hard if we weren't, but let us know. We always want to improve and do the best we can to help you guys win your championships.
Kurt, always great talking to you, man. I will see you next Sunday, and you guys, I'll be back in very shortly for this final game, the Clippers and the Wizards.
The victory, 150-125. I'm going to take a look at the Washington side of the game first. I got to start with the rookie, Roy Hachimura, with 30 points, 3 assists, 9 rebounds. He had 2 threes. He went 13 of 23 from the field, and this was an outstanding game from him. You know, in standard leagues, he's a really tough guy to roster because really inconsistent, but is also capable of having games like this. So in deeper leagues, I definitely think he's worth rostering. Also wondering if he starts to really put it together as the season goes on. So even in shallow leagues, a guy you would definitely want to watch, if he starts doing this on a consistent basis, he's definitely going to be worth picking up. Bradley Beal with 23 points, 2 steals, 11 assists, which is very nice, 5 rebounds. No threes tonight, which is really disappointing, but I love that he went 9 of 10 from the line, 7 of 19 from the field. 5 turnovers tonight is a little rough, but a pretty good game from him otherwise. Bryant had 9 points, and 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He only shot 3 of 11 from the field. Thomas with 16 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 threes from him. He shot 5 of 11 from the field. Troy Brown, just not happening for him. Got into some foul trouble tonight. Had 5 fouls in 22 minutes for 8 points, 7 rebounds, and I dropped him across the board in standard leagues, and even in some deep leagues, I let him go. Off the bench, Bertans is a nice option. He had 20 points, 1 block, 2 steals, 1 assist. He shot 6 of 9 from downtown and 7 of 10 from the field. And other than that, not much else to talk about here on the Washington side. Let's take a look at the LA Clippers. They got 31 points from Paul George and 34 points in Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, this is really interesting. I feel like since Paul George and Kawhi Leonard have been playing together, we have not seen them both pop in the same game. And so really nice to see both these guys go off for 30 plus in the same game. Paul George also adding 8 rebounds and assists, 4 threes on 10 of 21 shooting. Both guys were perfect from the line. Paul George was 7 of 7 from the line. Kawhi Leonard was 4 of 4. Kawhi also added 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He went 14 of 21 from the field. Patrick Beverley, somewhat of a letdown here. He went 3 points. The 3 steals is nice. 2 assists, 6 boards, 1 3. In just 24 minutes, likely had some foul trouble in this one. He had 4 fouls in 24 minutes. Mo Harkless had 7 points, 2 rebounds, 1 block. Tough to trust Mo. Zubac had 2 points in 16 minutes. He had 4 fouls in just 16 minutes, so he was seeing some foul trouble. The big that you want to have on the Clippers is Montrezl Harrell, who had 23 points, 15 rebounds, a block, a steal. He went 9 of 15 from the field, only 5 of 9 from the line, but pretty nice. Lou Williams, always a good scoring option off the bench. He had 22 points and 8 assists, 1 rebound and 2 threes. He shot 6 of 10 from the field, 8 of 9 from the line is pretty nice. Don't really trust anyone else here, and you know, the Clippers are a tough team because, you know, other than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, on a night-to-night basis, it's really tough to trust Pat Bev and Mo Harkless. Montrezl Harrell, probably the third option you want. And I feel like Lou Williams has been pretty safe and should be pretty safe going forward. All right, you guys, it's been a pretty great night of NBA fantasy action. A pretty nice slate. I think tomorrow is going to be a little lighter, and so probably a little shorter, a little quicker tomorrow. Thank you guys so much. I hope you guys are having a great fantasy season. I hope, you know, your teams are doing well. I hope you guys are avoiding injury, and that your guys are, if you have some underperforming guys to start the year, I hope they're coming around. If you do have some injury guys, I hope they're back soon. And I want to thank you guys for listening and supporting the show. Hit me up on Twitter at Adrian Benjamins. Would love to hear from you guys. Thank you guys so much, and I'll talk to you later.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.